Grace and peace are yours, abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us this evening comes from the second reading you just heard from Matthew chapter 26. I'd just like to zero in on one verse, and that is where Jesus says, "Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" He did not want to be alone as he struggled in prayer that night. It's easy to forget that Jesus was truly human. He needed the comfort of companionship. He wanted the encouragement that comes from loved ones. So Jesus leaves his larger group of disciples and takes with him his three closest friends, Peter, James, and John. And he can no longer keep back the burden that is weighing him down. "My soul," he says to them, "is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." He stumbles a few steps further and falls to the ground. Before him that night was the cup. Jesus talked about his mission in terms of a cup. It was a poetic way to describe the chain of events that would lead to his crucifixion. And in order to really understand the metaphor of the cup, we have to go back to the Old Testament. For example, in Psalm 75, David sang, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup of foaming wine, well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs." Isaiah then foretold of a time when the cup would pass from the people. "Thus says your Lord, the Lord your God, who pleads the cause of his people, 'Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath, you shall drink no more.'" The cup that was set before our Lord for him to drink was the cup that held the wrath of God. The wrath of God against sin. The wrath of God against all your rebellion, all your lack of love, all your passing of judgment on others, all your selfish acts, all your indulging of the flesh, all your spiritual apathy, and all of mine. That cup was set before Jesus, and he saw it, and he knew exactly where it would lead. That's why he felt crushed in the garden. Do you understand? Maybe in this case, it is impossible to understand. None of us is nearly as frightened of hell as we should be. None of us has the first clue about the real terror of its eternal loneliness or fathom its unsatisfied hunger and thirst, but Jesus knows. And because he knows, he looks into the eternal poison in that cup and he trembles. He trembles and he begs his Father that, if possible, some other way can be found, some different approach, something other than what is in this cup in front of him. He looks over the brim of the cup into its depths and he shakes in terror. You and I sin like it's no big deal. God will forgive me. He's loving and merciful and kind. No worries. We'll go to Gethsemane tonight with Jesus and see with your own eyes whether or not it's a big deal. Look at him as he shakes before the very portion that we choose again and again. And see him as he lifts his eyes from the cup to his Father and pleads for some other way. But then, see our Savior display that radical difference between himself and every other son of Adam and daughter of Eve. See him lower his eyes again to the cup and say, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." It has exhausted him. It has terrorized him looking into that cup. So he turns back to his friends for the comfort that they can give. And another wound strikes him. As he has struggled with the terrors of death and hell for them, they've fallen asleep. "Peter," he cries, startling them awake, "could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." That is what our flesh is, weak. We wound our Lord with our apathy. We wound him with our no big deal sinning. We add to the terrors of the cup. He must drink. But surely Jesus' word of warning will keep his disciples awake and in prayer. The most terrifying events of their discipleship are just moments away. Surely they will realize this and pray along with Jesus, right? Wrong. Jesus turns back, makes the same struggle in prayer, returns for comfort from his friends, and there they are, fast asleep. He is alone with all this. He turns back for his final prayer. The sweat falls from him in great drops like blood under the pressure of his yes to his Father's will. He will do it. He will go forward to drink this cup. He will swallow the poison of humanity's apathy. But look into the face of your Lord as he rises from that final prayer. What do you see? You see peace. You see resolve. That peace and that resolve came from his prayer. That peace came from trust in his Father to submit to the one who has loved you forever. In the end is not terror, it is joy, no matter how dark the path. And it is in that peace and resolve that Jesus turns back to his disciples one last time. Their weakness can wound him no more. He's going forth to swallow it down with all of their sins and the sins of the whole world. While they slept, He won the battle. And he won it alone. And now he will go out to meet his betrayer. So he wakes his disciples from their sleep to meet the terrors to come. And seeing him march forward to meet this end with such peace and such resolve, we sing in astonished awe, "What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, and grant to me thy grace." And we sing, "But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom." Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, by the struggle of your will to drink the cup of wrath and to empty it for us forever, you've shown us that you will never be apathetic about us. You drained that cup for us. You can be counted on to save us to the uttermost. To you belongs all the glory with your Father and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.